Just want to welcome you here in the house of the Lord. It's so good to be here. I have a couple of things to mention to you. There is a little closet right there. There is a lot of signs of the times. They are free to take, so please feel free to take as many as you want. They are also on the table at the entrance. There is a little thing, stand, with glow trucks. I don't know if anybody knows what glow trucks are. They are little trucks you can have and you can share wherever you go. Go in a restaurant, when you pay your bill, just put it there. And they are different topics. So it's a way of you to see, to sowing the seed. Please feel free to take anything from there. Another thing, you see my beautiful blouse. Just wanted to let you know, tomorrow is gonna be the international Romanian blouse. So this I'm wearing it today. That's the reason I'm wearing it. Tomorrow I will not have a chance to do it. But I'm glad that you're here, and I pray that God is gonna bless each one of us. We are all God's children, and God loves each one of us despite of who we are. If we are to look at ourselves, we find nothing of value, nothing that we can bring before God. But He loves us regardless of who we are, and He is very interested in our well-being. Our stand before God is not because of us, but it's because of His love to us. And we can always lean on Him for help and guidance. We have been talking for a health topic for a while right now, and we cover a lot of ground. But there is more we need to investigate, more we need to discover. Last time, we talked about nutrition, and this is because we kind of tried to get familiar with God's physician, God's prepared physician. Do you remember them? Let's see. We used the New Start guide, and it's N stands for nutrition, E stands for exercise, W stands for water, S stands for sun, T temperance, A air, R rest, and the second T is for trusting God. And we use this inspired message that will lead us. Presents all these physicians. Pure air, sunlight, abstentiousness, rest, exercise, proper diet, the use of water, trust in divine power, these are true remedies. Every person should have a knowledge of nature's remedial agencies and know how to apply them. Note the words, true remedies, knowledge, should have a knowledge and how to apply them. If we know something, we know that God's people are never ignorant. They are educated, they want to know more. They are always looking to know the truth and to apply the truth in our lives. The study of the Bible, is giving us the truth. Studying God's word, we came across truth many times, and the truth can come in many forms, and sometimes it can be an inconvenient truth, truth that we don't like to pay attention. But please remember that the truth is important. Jesus said in John 17:17, He prayed actually, sanctify them by your truth, your word is truth. And again, He said in John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And again, in John 14:6, He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father except through me. So, what are we to do with the truth? Are we in the right to choose the convenient truth and ignore or discard the one that is not convenient for us? Do we see the risk we run here? We can lose sanctification because The sanctification comes from the knowing the truth. We also can become slaves because the truth is what makes us free. And also, we can lose Jesus because Jesus is the truth. Are we willing to take this risk? We would like, before we get into the today's message, I would like to take a time and hold up the truth. And all, let's repeat together. Does anybody have their Bibles? Let's all say it together. This is my Bible. I believe it to be the word of the living God. And I covenant with him that I will study every day. I want God's will to be done in my life. I want to be led by the Holy Spirit. I want to be like Jesus. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are coming again before your throne of grace, Lord, to ask for your presence, to guide us in all truth. Lord, we are weak vessels. There are many things that stop us from becoming what you want us to become, Lord. But nevertheless, despite of the situation we are in, despite of who we are coming before you and asking for your help and your guidance and wisdom from you. Lord, help us to know the truth. And Lord, help us to apply this truth in our lives. At this moment, Lord, I'd like to ask you to use me as your messenger to present the truth as it comes from you. Help us to have a better understanding of where you want us to be. Help us to have a better understanding of who you want us to be. And Lord, help us to have a better understanding of what you want us to become by your grace. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's open. Truth. What is the truth? This question has troubled many, many minds. Even Pilate is asking, what is the truth? And the truth is here. Let's open our Bibles to Daniel 12:4. Daniel 12, chapter 12, verse 4 says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." What these verses have to do with health, with the new start, the seven physicians God has for us? What does this have to do with nutrition, with food, for the matter? Well, last time we talked about nutrition, we said that nutrition is more than food. And we cover a lot of ground. Today we're going to talk more about food, which is the what of nutrition, what we need to eat. And the context of living in this last day, the days that Daniel is talking here about. It is not secret for everyone that is present here that we live in the last day of this world history. The Bible prophecies are fulfilling right before our eyes. We can see the signs of the time. We can see the signs of impending return of Jesus. The signs that he spoke about 2,000 years ago. We can see it with our own eyes. To speak in a classic prophetic language, we are in the very tiptoe of the toenails of the image of Daniel 2. Brothers and sisters, it's time to listen to what Daniel spoke in Daniel 12:4. The time of the end, the time when knowledge shall increase. Are we ready? Are we awake? What I am to say about food today may be some on a border of conspiracy, but sadly, that's the truth. Our time together will take us into a strange territory to see a different facet of food before we will get there, I would like to introduce to you a few important concepts. For a beginning, I like to introduce you to an interesting study. I don't know if you ever heard about Pottinger or his research on cats. I have come across the name of Francis M. Pottinger, Dr. Francis M. Pottinger, a while ago. And I was reading about the study he did on a cat. That was in around 1920s, 1940s. Long story short, he ended up studying about 900 cats over 10 years period for about four cat generations. He divided the cats in five major groups and feed each of the groups with different kind of food. Two of the groups were given raw food. The three other groups were given cooked food, different kind of combination. The results are quite interesting. The cats that were fed raw food, they did quite well. They remained healthy across all four generations. But the foods that eat the cooked meat, the first generation develop diseases near to the end of their lives and become lazy. The second generation develop disease in the middle of their lives and start losing their coordination. Third generation, the disease develop in the beginning of their lives. The kittens were born blind and weak, and many died before 6 months of age. Also, there were noted personality changes. Male become docile, and female were very aggressive. And there was no fourth generation, because the third generation cats were either sterile, or the cats of the fourth generation died before their birth. There is a lot to say about pros and cons of this study. But what I would like to underline about this study is that what we eat is not only influencing us, our bodies today, but influences future generations. The second concept I would like to place in the back of your mind is the concept of you are what you eat. I don't believe this short statement needs any explanation, but in my research, I came again and again upon this. You are what you eat. As we mentioned in the previous presentations, I'm not very comfortable talking about the food. And this is not because I don't know what to say or I don't have a lot of things to say. This is not the reason. The main concern I have is that when we talk about the food, people may not pay attention because they say, oh, it does not apply to me, or, you know, whatever I hear, it's not what I like to hear. It's not what it's convenient for me, or it's not, that doesn't apply to me. And many people tend to tune out when we are talking about food and how it affects our bodies. But that does not stop me from saying whatever I have to say, because I happen to believe it's very important for us to know that what we eat affects our lives. And we should put this in the perspective that of who we are. We are not only human, but we are God's creation. We are created by God, and we have a responsibility of the creation God made us to be. My purpose today is to make you aware, and I'm not going to tell you, you know, that's what you should eat and that's you should not eat this. The purpose is just to make you aware of the things that many times we take for granted when it comes to walking into a store or buying something or eating something. For my perspective, we as people living today are very trusting. We trust the government to do well by us, to pass the laws that protect us. We trust the regulatory agencies to enforce the rules and the laws, to bring to our table the food that is good for us. We trust the farmers to plant the good seed and sell us the best produce, dairy products, or the best meat. For the most part, we trust media, who says whatever they say about the health, our health, the health industries, or whatever is available out there. We seem to trust others to care for our health and expect that everything available on the market is good for us. We do trust and don't seem to question when it comes to what we buy and what we put in our bodies. Are we in the right to be so trusty in the society we live in? At the same time, we seem to have some trust issues when it comes to believe what God says in His word in regard with how we should care for our bodies, or how we should talk about what we should eat, or how we should act. God is clear in Jeremiah 17:5. He says, "Cursed is the man who trusts in man and makes flesh his strength, whose heart departs from God." I wanted with this just to think about it, of our where we place our trust when it comes to what it's bring we bring in our lives. For thousands of years, people lived mostly a simple life, mostly in an agricultural society. For millennia, people were growing and consuming and selling homegrown food. It was hard work, it was sweat, it was skill, it was fresh, and it was good. That was God's plan. Remember, God put Adam and Eve in a garden. And He asked them, and that happened even before the sin came into this world. He created a garden specially for them. Most of the biblical narrative, if you're looking at all the stories in the Bible, are all in the context of the, you know, growing, taking care of sheep, and just living a simple life. For thousands of years, that's how what was the life the people knew. However, between then and now, Daniel 12 happened, when the knowledge increased. The million-dollar question for us is this a good thing or it's a bad thing? Living in today's society has advantages and benefits. I enjoy these benefits as much as anybody here. But is the lifestyle we live today better for our bodies? Were we designed to live in the today's society? We are designed to deal with the stresses of every day? How we are managing today's lifestyle? One answer can be found in the chart. I'm sorry, it's so small. It's very hard to see. But is the top 10 killers in today's society? The first one is heart disease. Second one, cancer. Third, chronic respiratory disease, unintentional injury, stroke, Alzheimer's, diabetes, influenza and pneumonia, kidney disease, and suicide. If you're looking at the list that is there, majority of the diseases that affect today's society are all caused by the lifestyle. Living in this time of history has not helped, but actually has a negative contribution to the health state we find ourselves today. We do live in perilous times, as Paul puts in 2 Timothy 3, 1-5. The perilous times aspect does not come only from the people who are around us and are lovers of themselves, proud, boasters, disobedient, unloving, unforgiving, without self-control, traitors, lovers of pleasure, or having a form of godliness. But also comes from a group of people that Paul puts it in this passage and says, lovers of money, who will do anything to increase their profits, even putting people, other people's lives at risk. One of the questions I have for you today, which is a greater risk? A risk we know and we voluntarily take it, or a risk we don't know but it's just happened to us? Which one is a greater risk? It's something that, you know, sometimes just going and knowing that, you know, I take this risk and I am responsible, it seems to be easier to take than, you know, I didn't know, it just happened out of nowhere. I would like to suggest to you that we are taking many unknown risks. And one of them is as simple as bending our elbow and putting unknown food in our mouth without even thinking what it does to our bodies. You may ask, unknown food? You don't know what you're talking, Gabriela. We are all familiar with the foods we buy from the store. They are fresh fruits, they are fresh vegetables, and also they are more refined foods such as Pringles and Oreos and Ritz crackers, burgers, Kellogg's, cereals, soda drinks. We know all these foods. Do we know them? If we know what we eat, can somebody explain to me some of the ingredients we find on the food labels, such as monosodium glutamate, aspartame, high fructose corn syrup, modified corn starch, hydrolyzed soy protein, fermented wheat protein? They are all on the labels. You just have to read them. Or can somebody tell me what is a natural or artificial flavor? Or potassium sorbate or sodium benzoate? These just to mention things I can pronounce, but there are so many things that I cannot pronounce. And the list can go on and on. There are many things we put in our bodies, we don't know what they are and what they are doing to us. Remember one of the concepts we mentioned before? We are what we eat. We should remember this in the big context of remembering that God is our creator, that created this wonderful masterpiece that is a human body. And it's his property that it's lended to us to be a temple for him to live in. I would like to suggest to you that in today's society, walking in a grocery store is a greater risk than we can imagine. You see, unlike our great grandparents who lived a simple life, just as many generations before them, today food, it can be hardly called food. We live in today in a society where farm-to-market route takes a detour through what it's called food industry. A very powerful and controlling entity that fits Paul's description of lovers of money to a T. We will be only scratching the surface when we talk about food industry. At least the amount of information available on each side of the aisle, it's so vast that will make our heads spin. At least that's what I felt when I was doing the research. So now I have the task of compiling majority of what I have read and present it to you in the very short time we have available. If anyone wants to know more about it, just please let me know and I can share the research I've done with you. According with Wikipedia, food industry, it's a complex global collective of diverse businesses that supplies most of the food consumed by the world population. This industry has been present in our modern society since around the 1950s. The food industry includes not only agriculture, where food, plants, animals, fish are grown and produced, But also, they include manufacturing, food processing, marketing, food distribution, retail. And the list should stop here, because I don't see any reason for food industry to include regulation, education, research, or financial services, do you? One may say, oh, well, we use Wikipedia, and Wikipedia, we know it's not the best resource available right there. It may not be most reliable source, but it does offer one side of the story. In addition, I do need to mention there is not too much available there that research the food industry, unless it's sponsored by the food industry. Going back to the grocery store, one of my favorite places, as my lovely husband will say, true is I love grocery store shopping because I like to look for bargains. Okay, when we walk in a grocery store, we have two major options. One is unprocessed food, like fruits, vegetables, and the other side, you have a lot of processed foods to different degrees. There is a lot of things to say about these two major, unprocessed food and processed food. And I was trying to fit both of them today, but unfortunately I cannot. So we're going to talk today about processed food. What is food processing? The food processing combines raw food ingredients to produce marketable food products that can be easily prepared and served to the customers. And in a way, it's just what you take the vegetable fruits and put them, you mix them, and they said involves mincing, macerating, emulsification, cooking, pickling, pasteurization, everything that makes it food to be presentable to us the way we cook it. And we have done food processing, and that has been for a long time. That's the way we cook our food home. That's, in a way, that's food processing. What is different today? You know, people have done it for a long time, food processing. What is different today? The main difference between today's food processing and the way the food processing was done for hundreds of years in the past is the massive presence of mass production of cooked, semi-cooked, canned foods available to the customers. The food industry giants have outdone themselves in creating and offering a variety of products to satisfy the desires of their customers. And just want to make a note, the market is not driven, the food industry market is not driven by what people need, but rather by what people want. There is a statement in an article I was reading that stuck to me and validated this point. The food industry has a large influence on consumerism. How does it work? The food industry has different methods to achieve its goal to increase the productions and increase the money they get. And the first one is by marketing. They spend in 2012, $4.6 billion advertised on a fast food, and that's only on fast food alone. We don't mention about specific products. We didn't mention any restaurants. It's only fast food. Another method, it's by putting in our food additives, food additives, who are designed, and that's where research component of the food industry comes, that are designed to create pleasure in us, make us to eat more, and to want more. Have you ever wondered why we are not able to stop at eating only one potato chip? It's because they have things inside of them that ask, I want more, I want more. Food additives make food. You know, they are food additives we have been using for a long time. To mention one, salt, sugar, spices, herbs, that make food taste better, looks better, and makes it pleasurable for us. These have been used for a long time. But in today's society, the food additives that are used are different than what we know. And in addition to that, they use different combination. They are so specialized that they kind of do research to see what's the best combination of salt, sugar, and fat to make us want more. The additives, some of the additives that are harmful to us, they actually work directly on our brain. They are called excitotoxin. Did anybody heard about them? Excitotoxin. And they are activating the pleasure center in our brain and make us want more. They not only create this desire for more, but in a process, they destroy some of our brain cells. That's why it's very important to know which are these food additives that destroy the body, God, you know, especially thinking about the brain, the place where we have the better understanding of who God is. Two of well-known excitotoxins are aspartame and MSG. MSG stands for monosodium glutamate, and it's used as a flavor enhancer. The tricky part with MSG is that it has been known for a long time to cause damage in our brain. And what happened, they use different names now. MSG is hidden in a soy protein, and it's in yeast extract, yeast nutrient. So all the names you see there, they all carry MSG. And what the MSG does, it does affect our brain. Also, aspartame, which we find it in, it's made to create a sweet taste, and it's found in Equal, NutraSweet, Spoonful, used as a diet or a sugar-free produce. It has known to cause 75% of adverse reaction to food additives and a lot of other problems, a lot of other health problems that can cause in any person. The less common excitotoxin, and we do find them in the majority of the vegetarian products, is carrageenan and L-cysteine. The food, there are different lists out there. I came about a number of lists that said worst food additives we need to avoid. The most important one are listed here. Monosodium glutamate, high fructose corn syrup, artificial sweetener, common food dyes, trans fats, BHA and BHT, sodium nitrate or sodium nitrite, potassium bromate, sodium sulfite, sulfur dioxide. How do we know we have these things in our foods? It's just reading the label. Reading the label and see if we have if they have contained any of these things. The food additives are not only used for a flavor enhancing, but also for to make the food look good, and also they have preserving qualities and make the food last longer. Going back to the Pattinger study on the cats, one may want to think that there is no what may be connection between the where we are as generation or where our health is in this time with what we eat. But there is a connection there. It doesn't happen by chance that we live in today's society when chronic diseases like hypertension, cancer, diabetes start plaguing the younger generation of today. There are children as young as 12 who have high blood pressure. That's something unheard in a generation before. It's interesting to see the increasing trends of the chronic disease in today's society. And now we are talking in the terms of epidemics. We talk about epidemic of obesity, epidemic of cancer, epidemic of diabetes, epidemic of disease. Epidemic means widespread, covering a whole area, geographical area. If you are to receive education from a medical professional on what is the healthful diet, what kind of things you need to eat, the recommendation is always just go to the perimeters outside where the store. When you go do your grocery shopping, instead of going to the center islands where I have the most processed food, just go around the periphery where you have the fresh fruits and vegetables and you have less processed foods. Now, we know that the commercial processed food, it can be hardly considered food. And it's not only devoid of nutritional value, but also can be damaging to the God's creation that is human body. If it came from a plant, eat it. If it was made in a plant, don't. I do not want to leave you with the impression that all processed foods are bad. There are foods out there that provide nutrition for our body needs. But the key is in the way these foods are processed and what is added to make them taste good. In my personal opinion, the best processed food we can eat is the ones we prepare ourselves. How about less processed foods, fruits, vegetables, meat, and dairy? Well, we are about to open another can of worms when you're talking about these processed foods, and I do need a lot of time to talk about it. That's why we're going to talk about this in a future presentation. I had all the good intention of finishing this subject, but unfortunately the time does not allow me to cover all the important aspects. I wish I can bring you good news when we talk about fruits, vegetables, meat, and dairy. But sadly, that's another dark facet of living in this earth and at this time in history. I would like to end our discussion in a positive note, and the only way we can find something good in all this mess that is around us and many times inside us comes only from the place, from only one place, which is God and His Word. Daniel was told by the angel in Daniel, I'm sorry, I didn't move further. Daniel was told by the angel, but you, Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book until the end of time. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase. There is no doubt in my mind that we live in a special time of history, the very time Daniel was told in this message. We are witnesses that knowledge has exploded and spread to a degree never thought possible before. Our Lord coming is just outside of the door. Are we ready? The wise counsel is given. We should educate ourselves, not only to live in harmony with the laws of health, but to teach others the better way. Many, even of those who profess to believe in special truths for this time, are lamentably ignorant in regard to health and temperance. They need to be educated, line upon line, precept upon precept. The subject must be kept fresh before them. The, con- The matter must not be passed over as non-essential, for nearly every family needs to be stirred up on the question. The conscience must be aroused to the duty of practicing the principle of true reform. God requires that His people shall be temperate in all things. Unless they practice true temperance, they cannot be susceptible to the sanctifying influence of the truth. Outside and inside, there is a battle. There is a battle for our hearts. There is a battle for our mind, a battle for our bodies, for our allegiance, and for our worship. Only safe place we have is in God's word and in His promises. In this troubled world, we are safe only when we trust and obey. Our Heavenly Father, we as your children are coming before you at this time to ask for your guidance. Lord, we are navigating in a world that is full of treachery, deceiving. Lord, there are so many things around us that there is a danger for us. Lord, give us the wisdom. Open our eyes. Open our hearts to see and to understand that your love is greater than anything. And you can keep us safe regardless of where we step and where we go. We trust you, Lord, to help us and guide us to make the right choices, right decisions. And Lord, we want to put ourselves in your hand for the future. At this moment, I would like to pray. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.